The link connecting Revilla Road near Harriet Hunt Lake and a Forest Service road near George Inlet has been punched through. But there's still a lot of work left before the public can drive from Ketchikan to Shelter Cove in Carroll Inlet.
This is a construction site. There's I don't think we have any open trenches at the moment, but there's a lot of heavy equipment out there. So the main safety feature when you're around heavy equipment is make sure that whoever's operating the equipment sees you before you get anywhere close to it.
That's Vic Winter, DOT's South Coast Region Construction Engineer, giving a safety briefing as we head toward Revilla Road. Project engineer Greg Civitash is driving our small group in a four-wheel drive truck. It's a rainy October day, and you can hear the truck's windshield wipers in the background. Phase one of the overall project is done. That was relatively easy, just resurfacing an existing road that leads over land owned by Cape Fox Corporation. Phase two has been challenging, requiring tree removal, filling in muskeg, and blasting rock to level out the often steep terrain.
And we still have a fair amount of blasting to do, right?
We do, right? This year, there's been several rock cuts that we've expanded, opened up, and built benches for the road. And we're currently still widening the road for the road embankment. We're blasting into the hillsides.
When phase two is complete in, they hope, mid-January, funding for Shelter Cove Road will be used up. Winter says the project will need another appropriation before phase three can go out to bid.
Okay, phase three is a follow-on project to replace some of the log stringer bridges and some culverts. At the completion of stage three, then the road will be open to the public.
Until then, the road is off limits. That restricted access has made some people unhappy. Hunters especially had hoped to use the road, finished or not, and some people did access it by repeatedly ripping the padlock off a gate blocking the road.
Well, we thought they were cutting the locks off, but we finally figured out what they were doing is tying a chain to our gate and just yanking it with their vehicle and breaking the lock off. So they're also destroying our gates.
Winter says DOT is obligated to keep the gate closed and locked. If they find it open, they have to close it and put a new padlock on. That's been a problem for people other than the lock ripper, who drive through and then get stuck on the wrong side of a locked gate.
People would call the DOT maintenance crew to come out here and let them out. And you can see what a long drive it is to get out here. So after a number of times, they took the gate down and laid it on the side.
That pleased those who want access, but not the landowners. The gate is back up, and Winter says DOT is monitoring it to determine who keeps ripping off the locks. Once the road is complete and open to the public, a series of gates will be in place to control access to any side roads leading into private land. Again, though, that's going to take a while. The project was supposed to be completed last October. Winter says there were some problems with the first contractor, Wilson Construction. DOT terminated their contract last December and rebid phase two. The current contractor is K&E Alaska out of Sitka. They were able to start work this spring, but were a little late for what Winter calls the fish window. There are quite a few fish streams along the route, he says, and work is allowed on those streams in June and July. That's it.
So out of the whole year, you have 60 days to do these fish pipes.
The pipes are large culverts that allow a stream to flow naturally underneath the road. Four are installed, and they have four more to go. Those four probably will have to wait for phase three, though, along with new bridges. Joe Williams and Scott Kinsey with K&E Alaska say phase two has gone well so far. Ketchikan's unusually dry weather this past summer helped, although all the blasting was challenging. Another challenge has been the remote site location. Southeast Alaska residents aren't used to driving an hour or more one way just to get to work every day.
Literally an hour and a half by the time you get in and get out every day. So
once they get to work, though, the crew works efficiently using equipment with GPS controls. Kinsey says that technology lets them go through the route ahead of time and set up a model that's input into the machines. Williams says the section they're excavating now is the most complicated because of all the required blasting.
As you go through, it looks like a bit of a mess, but there's logic to it.
We're at the active construction area now, and there are a lot of large, loud machines. All the rock that previously was blasted is loaded into a rock crusher, crushed, and hauled away. The crushed rock later will be used to fill in softer muskeg portions of the new road. The road will be gravel the whole way. That's one piece of good news for the project budget and timeline, because paving in Southeast Alaska can be challenging. Winter says it has to be dry. Really dry, not Ketchikan dry.
But sometimes you hear that comment, it's like, oh, we can pave, it's a dry rain. It's like, oh, that must be a Ketchikan thing. But it's like, nope, can't pave in the rain.
The end of the new road blends into the existing Forest Service road, leading toward Shelter Cove. Winter says there aren't any plans to improve that section of road, but DOT will maintain it once it's been transferred. When the whole project is done and open to the public, the road will be 20 miles long, including all the previously existing road. Newly built roadway is about 7 miles, and the overall project cost is estimated between $20 million and $30 million. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.